Bag huge savings on your painting project at Menards. With over 100 years of paint experience, Dutch Boy is the perfect choice for your painting projects. Give your space the platinum treatment with Platinum Plus Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer in one with amazing stain resistance that gives your space a long-lasting finish. Check out Mapped Blue, Dutch Boy's color of the year. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
But of course, more immediate is the formation of the next government. The Dáil resumed for one day, I think around the 18th of December, elected a Crann Cóirle, agreed there are various technical groups, and of course, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have nominated their negotiating teams to provide us with the government. And the Dáil, I think, resumes on the 22nd of January, 2 days after Trump's inauguration. And so therefore, we're getting down to the wire now, first working day of the new year, the 2nd of January. And I'm delighted to be joined by Minister of State at the Department of Finance. He has been in different departments, social protection, trade and enterprise, but now dealing with such matters as financial services, credit unions and insurance. Fine Gael TD, and of course getting a second seat as well as topping the poll in Rathdown. It's a pleasure to welcome Minister Neil Richmond, and a happy new year to you, Neil. So what can we expect in terms of a timeline? What's happening right now? Was there a break for Christmas? What do you expect to happen in the coming weeks?
There was indeed a break for Christmas. The negotiations went on till the 23rd of December. And then, as anyone reasonable would expect, after a fairly grueling few weeks, a break was taken. Negotiations resume tomorrow. And we would very much hope that we will be in a position over the coming days to get that negotiations back on track. A lot of early work has started, but there's still quite a bit of work to be done in relation to a proposed programme for government between Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and then either the regional group of independents or indeed the Social Democrats are still in discussions at this stage as well.
So do I take it that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil together will draw up the programme and then involve the regional independents, or are they involved in a tripartite basis from the get-go?
No, at this stage it's just been Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael so far, but we will be inviting in a third party, as I said, in the coming days. There's quite a bit to work through. I would be hopeful and ambitious that we could have a government by the 22nd of January, but I think a lot of people get lost on the real process. Any programme for government has to go back to members of both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to vote on, and that process is quite complicated. Last time it was probably a much bigger deal because it was the first time Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were proposing to go into government as coalition partners. It requires a vote, it requires a ballot, and there may be a need for regional meetings with members and the negotiating team or other parliamentarians. So there's a bit to go, and I think the programme for government is where it all lies on. This is to make sure that we have the policy for government for the next 5 years, and from a Fine Gael point of view, we're committed to making sure that we have a strong, stable government, but equally that as much of our manifesto that we put before the people that over 400,000 people voted for is reflected in that programme for government.
But is it your expectation when the Dáil resumes that the matters will be resolved on that date? Micheál Martin will be elected Taoiseach, the cabinet will be elected. Is that your expectation, or do you think it'll drag into longer?
I have to be quite careful with this. I would very much have that hope that it could be achieved, but there's a lot of work to be done still.
But nothing like a deadline to focus the minds, because like we had the previous occasion, it literally went on for months. And actually what happened, because COVID, this was in 2020, they couldn't get vital, urgent matters to do with the pandemic approved until the Senate was appointed. And, you know, you have to have a Taoiseach elected to have the Senate 11, and the Senate needed to ratify certain legislative matters relating to payouts and so on for COVID. Like, you don't have that imperative now. Could it drag on with people sort of grandstanding?
No, I wouldn't expect it on grandstanding, but I think what certainly everyone seems to get lost in the discussion, it is about the programme for government. This is what the government will be judged on for the next 5 years. You can't leave any gap for error or mistake. There are areas where there needs to be compromise from all sides. Everyone accepts that. Not great amounts of compromise, but we in Fine Gael are very much hopeful that we can get it done by the 22nd of January. But I don't want to create a hostage of fortune needlessly at this stage, Ivan. I want the negotiations actually first and foremost to resume and let the work continue. And then when it comes to the parliamentary party, we'll make a decision and then we'll refer to the members of our party.
Okay. Now, of course, the government essentially has been re-elected without the Greens, and therefore one is looking for what will be different in this programme as opposed to the last government. I'll come on to housing in a moment, but there's quite a few promises have been made about departmental reform, and this is, you know, absolutely vital. So on the Fine Gael side, you have a Department of Infrastructure. On the Fianna Fáil side, they want to bring the migration issues out of the Department of Children and into a revamped Department of Justice, which will have justice responsible for policing, prisons and the courts, and a separate Department of Domestic Affairs, which would deal with border security, deal with the issue of migration, not just accommodation, but, you know, asylum and deportation and all that kind of stuff. Is that something we can anticipate?
I think every time a new government is formed, we do see new government departments. Last time we saw the new creation of Department of Higher Education. Previously, we would have seen the creation of Department of Children. New departments and new focuses. It is going to be completely different negotiating this programme government than it was in 2020, because ultimately that was negotiated in the grips of a global pandemic, the likes of which we hadn't seen for a century. The world has moved on. Our economy is in far ruder health now. However, we are facing very clear global challenges. And what we've been quite clear from Fine Gael is we need to make sure that our economy is protected, that we can face down those challenges, that we continue to provide the services, but also provide the tax cuts that have come into play yesterday in the economy going on for the next 5 years.
So you're expecting, so people have said education should be put back together. They're saying that Eamon Ryan's brief was too massive in terms of, you know, all the things he had to, the Department of Transport or Energy require a special department to give focus on those issues. What can you give us any insight into what we can expect?
Well, we can expect in the coming days that these are the issues that are going to be dug into. They haven't been approached yet in the negotiations so far before Christmas. This is the sort of areas that we go in to make sure that we see the two main parties who are negotiating at this stage, as much of our manifestos that marry up and that are relatively complementary are obviously put in first and foremost, that they're watertight. And then in new areas, they're up for discussion and negotiation.
Right. Now, let's talk about housing. So the commitment by your party leader, Simon Harris, is to build 303,000 houses, 60,000 houses a year, building up to that by 2030. And, you know, the target figures were agreed, actually, by the last cabinet meeting and so on. And it's basically broadly a doubling of housing. Now, this is an area I declare an interest. I do a lot of work with CIF and the House Builders Association, and whether it's Glenveagh or Cairn Homes, the people who can build 2,000 or 3,000 houses a year. And they tell me, and none of the politicians tell me this, that radical planning reform is absolutely critical. And that's to do with zoning of land. It's to do with the new planning framework to bring that about. It's to do with judicial reviews. It's to do with on board Planola and so on. And that you know, really, unless there is a radical change. Now, none of the politicians in their manifestos address this issue. Interestingly enough, Keir Starmer is promising to build 300,000 houses a year, 1.5 million houses. And the first thing he has said is, you know, they've identified sites of 400 acres that there's going to be 8,500 houses. And they have identified objectors to the planning system. And, you know, I could go to Clonskee, the 698 units for student accommodation. I could go to Clonliff. I could actually go to Irish Waters projects for vital infrastructure of Clonshock that have been bedeviled by the planning system. Do you think, as a senior party representative, that there is an understanding of the planning dilemma and the need for reform?
Well, I think there has been quite a considerable amount of reform just in the last few months of this last government. When we saw the planning bill come in early autumn, this was a huge amount of work, hundreds of hours of committee discussion, hundreds of amendments, and we actually got that through. And we actually are able now in this, with this new government, to see the impact of that planning bill, to see how that can speed up the process. And the developers that you speak to, they are right, Ivan, I'm not denying that. There are issues with our planning system. We've always acknowledged that we need to speed up, because we absolutely need to massively increase the amount of homes that are being delivered on a daily basis. We have seen huge increases over the last 5 years, but we need to see that increase going further. We see the commencement notices up to, I think it's 54,000 already by the end of the year just gone, 2 days ago, sorry. Getting mumbled up in my ears. So I think absolutely the impact of that planning bill, but what we will see in this programme for government when it is decided upon, is a huge, massive focus on housing of all natures, and every tool that goes into making sure that we can deliver more homes for the people that need it.
Yeah, but just to drill into this for a moment, one of the things that Owen Murphy did was the build to rent, the co-living. And Clonliffe was that. It was a Hines project beside Croke Park for 1,600 units. And it was for single people in their 20s and 30s for a temporary home. And all the units built under Build to Rent are full. And the government have decided to abolish Build to Rent. One of the things that Darragh O'Brien did that created a huge temporary surge was, you get a waiver of your water capital development charge and on your planning development fees. And obviously this did bring about maybe 10, 15,000 new starts and so on. But the fact of the matter is, to achieve 50 or 60,000 will require a sea change. It just will not be sort of construction as usual.
Well, I think the development levies, that waiver, had a massive impact. And that's why we took the decision to extend it. We saw the benefit of it. And those homes that's not just on paper. I came in from Stepside this morning. I've passed dozens of active building sites where good homes that people are going to be able to buy, cost rental, affordable, are not only being built, they're finished and they're going on to market. And we see the huge demand for it. People want homes. They want homes they can buy, first and foremost, and they can afford to buy. And that's why that legislative change was made previously. We fundamentally believe that we have turned the corner in housing, but a lot more needs to be done. And that will be done in the form of this programme for government, where we see a huge continued emphasis on it.
OK, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, and you've been across a few departments and you're in the Department of Finance at the moment, and that is, the sort of the tip of the iceberg was Bikegate and the hush and all that narrative of value for money and accountability. And accountability means, that someone's ass is on the line if there's something that happens that's incredible. Secondly, public service reform. I don't know if you heard this extraordinary case of this prison officer in Mountjoy. And basically, he went off to fight in the Ukraine war. And for months, the system didn't know. These mates were filling in for him on rosters. The system didn't know he was there until he appeared in after being injured in the war. That type of oversight of simply management of 400,000 people in the public sector. And I hear a lot of people saying that the working from home is actually not really been, the way Amazon are now pressing January 1, everyone returns to the office in much more sort of disciplined fashion. I hear none of those pressures in the public sector. In other words, the permanent government, the bit that's not elected, is there any appetite in government to get value for money, to drive better management efficiency, and to ensure there's accountability?
Well, I think first thing when it comes to value of money, we did have a number of very high profile incidences that were really frustrating, to say the least. I could say much stronger language, but I won't this early in the day. But what they really took away from is the vast, vast majority of public building projects. It can be the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Dunleary, the Glenamuck Distributor Road in my own constituency. The vast majority of them are coming in under budget and ahead of time. That's what we are known for. And indeed, we do a very highly performing public sector service, and you hear those one-off anecdotal incidents and it drives people mad, and that's understandable. There is a wider parallel debate to be had in relation to the future of remote working. I accept that, was over that a lot when I was in the Department of Enterprise. Remote working does work. it benefits a lot, not just from a company point of view, but also from an employee point of view. Does it benefit the wider economy? I'm sure you could talk to plenty of cafe owners in Dublin city centre and shop owners who'd say it wouldn't. But that's where a balance needs to have. This notion that certain American multinationals have of a draconian, no, everyone's back in 5 days a week, it won't work. It won't work in the private or the public sector. But we're very keen to see a balance. When people need to be in the office, absolutely have them in the office. But we have to admit that people who can make the most of perhaps it's a Monday, Tuesday or a Monday, Friday, working remotely, giving them better balanced life, keeping them in their job. Remember, Ivan, we're at full employment. It's not just about the salaries that are paid people. They also need the work-life balance to make sure they stay competitive and stay in their roles.
Okay, so beyond, that's all to do with the programme for government, and we await what shiny new developments might occur, and hopefully there'll be some creativity and some new approaches to that rather than more of the same and inertia. I want to ask you about government formation, because in my really popular podcast, Path to Power, people are interested in the gossipy side of politics. And so there are 15 members of cabinet, and the general understanding is that there'd be 8 Fianna Fáil, and Fine Gael tell me 7 Fine Gael, and that the independents will get a super junior and everyone will get a super junior minister and so on. I'm really intrigued by some of the names on the doors. And so therefore, I'm looking at Fine Gael 6 or 7, because if Sean Kenny is given a full ministry and nothing is agreed till everything's agreed and this will be left last. So you have Simon as guaranteed, Simon Harris. You have Helen McEntee as deputy leader is guaranteed. You have Pascal who's guaranteed. So then we look at who is in the Fine Gael side on the negotiating team. And very interestingly, Martin Hayden, who has been lined up perhaps for agriculture because Fine Gael would like agriculture back. And this brings me, Peter Burke is lined up, and this brings me to the Neil Richmond dilemma. The Neil Richmond dilemma is that you've been long service senator, working in the Oireachtas system, you become a poll topper, you got the extra seat, you've done a couple of rounds of junior ministry. But the problem is he can't appoint everyone in Dublin. A lot of those I pointed out are in the greater Dublin area. And so, therefore, it seems to be between Jennifer Carol McNeill and you, and the two into one doesn't go. Would you comment on that? Because she's on the negotiating team and you're not.
I don't really have any comment to offer.
Are you available to serve as a minister?
Of course I'm available for selection, but that is a decision for Simon Harris. And the last thing I want to do is come on the national airwaves and make his job any harder than it already is. So I'll leave that with that.
Okay, well, we'll put it like this. There has to be gender balance and so on. On the Fianna Fáil side, just for those who are interested, Micheál, I think, is guaranteed. Jack Chambers is guaranteed. Dara O'Brien, Norma Foley. I'm speculating that Dara Kaleri or McConnellogue, not both. James Lawless is likely to get a jump up. Mary Butler, because there has to be a second lady, and it's her or Niamh Smith, and James Brown is also in the frame. But put it like this, I do see from what every side has told me that there is a dilemma here, which is, will the regional independents be given a full ministry? What's your view on that?
That's, again, a matter for negotiation, and a negotiation that will happen way above my pay grade, and indeed anyone in the negotiating team's pay grade. That's for the leaders. We'll see the results of that in the next couple of weeks. You've just listed off a lot of people from two parties who are excellent people, all of whom have made great ministers.
OK, we'll just take some of the text responses, and please do keep them coming. One of the principal objectives of FFG is to suppress supply to always ensure record house prices. Yeah, we are looking at double-digit increases. I'll put that to him. Politicians say one thing, do another. Ivan, the country is back to work today and this government won't get to work for 3 more weeks. Not good enough. And someone else asks, why don't FF and FG just amalgamate? They are the same party. Right. How do you respond to those things? Because it's pretty anti-politician there.
No, and it's very easy to be anti-politician in an era like this, but we see what happens when you're anti-politician for too long. We've seen that around the world. Ultimately, the government is back to work. I'm going from here to the Department of Finance where I continue on my ministerial duties for the foreseeable future. Equally, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are two extremely different parties, distinct parties. Coming together in coalition was you know, it broke a century of tradition 5 years ago, but we can work together because we're prepared to work together for the country's better interests. And I'm very hopeful we'll be at the root of a government for the next 5 years with Fianna Fáil going forward.
One final question, which is about Trump's inauguration is going to happen. The reality of the Irish public finances is in 2024, we received 4 billion of corporation tax. The outturn, I've yet to see it, but we'll call it 30 billion. It's transformative. It has paid for everything, leaving aside the Apple 14 billion. There's an existential threat. Trump reduces the corporation tax down to the same rate, 15%, looks for reshoring. That affects the tech giants on the pharma side and chemicals. Exports, 50 billion of exports, Irish exports, could be facing a tariff. And they have the difficulty of no electricity for the data centres and more state aid in the rest of Europe for FDI, multinational investment. Do you not think one of the big challenges of the next government, because there's things that you can plan and do, but there are external threats, that actually the kind of golden geese of the FDI, which is providing this extraordinary resource, and IFAC have warned about this, just may be in real peril in the lifetime of this next government?
Well, we're facing very real challenges, not just from America, but an unstable European continent as well, and global tariff wars. But there's a couple of things. One, I think we have a government that have handled these issues before. We handled the outflow of Brexit. We handled the outflow of the pandemic. We handled the outflow of Russia's invasion into Ukraine and the inflationary crisis that causes. When we look particularly in the US, Trump, in the last year of his last presidency, did try to do this before we were able to handle it. Multinationals come here for a lot more than just our corporate tax rates. They come here for the talent. They come here for the English language. They come here for the fact that we're the access to the world's biggest global bloc in the EU. It is a challenge ahead. I'm not denying that. But that's why we've been saving so much of that windfall corporate tax into funds, over 15 billion euro, to make sure we have that if it does begin to deteriorate globally.
OK, we'll await the leaks and the insights into the government formation. It starts in earnest today. Minister Neil Richmond, thank you. Now, let's give you away some cash.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.